Anyway, let's go to 2 Peter.
She's the same one who knocked the red wine into the white car. She would have had to
go. Did you get your bed fixed? Do you got a new bed?
Probably got a new bed.
Is it put together?
A real put together.
So that it didn't improve your attitude any.
No, I didn't improve my personality.
Did you thank Dana and Wade?
I think I did. If I didn't, it would make an official thank.
Are you cold, Ron?
Huh?
Are you cold?
No, not
yet. Did Wade finally give up his bed and they're both sleeping together now?
I want to move too fast to be married.
John, I didn't, Bojo, I had to cancel appointments yesterday because I was really out of it. So I'll talk to you about when I reschedule. Chapter 2. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately or privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Remember, we talked about the word privily. It didn't mean that they secretly brought them in. It meant that they brought heresies along with truth. And the fruit of it is that they deny the Lord that bought them. They're not denying that Jesus existed. You deny the Lord by giving breath to you. And it's important. It's vital. There's no word to explain how important this is. To give breath to is to love as a verb. You either love God or you deny Him by either abandoning yourself or abandoning God. Everything about your mind is structured for you to deny the Lord that bought you. But they're teaching that you deny the Lord that bought them by teaching self-realization in the name of God. Do you see how clear this is?
You know, the damnable part is that word is almost the truth. So close
to the fools
people.
Well, but I don't know how it fools them. And that's what's troubling me. I don't know how you can read this book and see self in it. The reason it's so close, as you said, is because it is they use the book to enhance self-realization. So it's just another thing. It's just another item in the spiritual supermarket.
They use it to give life to that which is cursed and to death. And that, you know,
but it shouldn't, it's not, I mean, it shouldn't be, I mean, to you and I, hopefully, prayerfully, it is not close. It's black and white. The only place it becomes slightly gray is when you're doing it yourself. In other words, when you think something is going on with you. That's the only place of its subtlety. But to hear somebody teach self-realization in the name of God, it should be it's denying the Lord that bought them. Now, That's why every time, if you are in, you know, if you want to know what to do about something, you're denying the Lord that bought you. If you are an elder and you're counseling somebody and you tell them what to do, you're denying the Lord that bought you. Do you understand that? You know, we used to say that the thing that I hate with purple passion is the psychobabble. When everybody sits and gives their opinions of what that person should do about a particular problem, they're denying the Lord that bought them.
Oh, you're saying it's cause and effect is denying the Lord.
Well, cause and effect is...
Well, cause and effect is it depends on me. It depends on me taking action to make sure it turns out good.
Modifying your behavior.
It's changing your behavior. And getting circumcised is changing your behavior. They that desire to make a fair show in the flesh, the desire that you be circumcised, you stop, you behave, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Every time, you got to see this. Every time that any part of you, any inward secret, inward part of you, is about you. And you're denying the Lord that bought you. Anytime it's your response to something or someone or some situation, you're denying the Lord that bought you.
That kind of ties into me with examine yourselves, see whether you be reprobate.
Prove whether you're in the faith.
Yeah, and the same thing with examine yourself. Do you know you've been purchased? Sometimes you don't think of it in that other sentence, but have you been purchased?
Well, the human race has been purchased. Have you denied that?
Yeah.
Is this sinking into a deep, deep? Is this becoming you, or is it something that you're just still looking at or trying to think about, or? There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. It's not among them, it's among you.
This makes me think of one of the things you've said many times about the Word of God is its own dynamic, which is a real risky thing because that means you have to...
That's why without faith it's impossible to please Him, because you have to know that the Word is its own life. Otherwise, you will not have faith. You will have something that you're taught is the word faith, but it's meaningless. Faith is the certainty. Yeah, that means we've said, I don't want to make it a cliche, but I've already made it a cliche. So faith is Jesus in you, believing in Himself. That's why without faith, it's impossible to please God. There is nothing going on with you. And you're seduced. In the same way Eve was seduced, and you're seduced by the same serpent. To believe there is an issue that you deal with. That's why John the Baptist called the people sons of the serpent. Generation of vipers means sons of the serpent. That's why Jesus said to the Jews that believed on Him, you are of your father, the devil, and the only thing you're capable of doing, the only will you're capable of willing is the will of Satan. Stop. Look at me. Do you understand that the only thing that your mind is capable of doing is doing the will of Satan? Can we get a sort of a dent in this idea that there are holy ideas? holy solutions. That come from you. We hadn't talked about heaven and hell for a long time, so when I was studying this morning, you know, and this next verse talks about their. Well, not the next one, but in verse 4 it talks about they spared not the angels that sinned but cast them down to hell. But through, listen, privilege shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious. Now, pernicious is a word that does not mean, it's not talking about their heresy. It's a word that can only be used to talk about lifestyle. Remember what it means? It's asalegia. It's unbridled lust, excesses, licentiousness, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shamelessness, insolence. Unbridled greed. Now, some of you have a bridle in the greed, but it's a loose bridle. Again, do you understand? They're talking about not somebody out there. They're talking about us. Us. We. Why don't somebody disagree with me? I want somebody to disagree with me.
I like the part about insolence is like totally without any kind of authority or discipline. You know, otherwise, it's just, it takes in a whole bunch of stuff.
Privily reminds me of a thing that I don't know if they still do it or not, but I know in World War II, submarine captains would come in behind a ship, just below it, just behind it, to hide. And that's the way they could get into harbors and stuff. To sneak in along with.
The right word, the true word.
The things that sneak in on me are, you know, gain is godliness, suffering is strange, all that kind of stuff.
That's what Paul said. If those thoughts are there, that means you believe another gospel. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Just look. And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words, it says make merchandise of you, but it's the idea that they will use you for their personal gain. Again, you can't, I don't want to hear anybody's thoughts go outward. This is talking about you using this vessel, whether it's from the altar of incense, which is your mind, or whether it's from the altar of the brazen altar, which is your stomach, or any part of this vessel is being used for your personal gain. It's obviously it's talking about, you know, the idea that are, you know, the people that are eating the sheep instead of feeding them, and they're using the numbers for their personal gain and all that. That's not what that's fine. That's talking about that. But I'm talking about you using this temple of our tabernacle of the living God for your personal gain. You have some kind of a, since you are disciples, is there any discipline on that. This is a message you people don't want to hear. That's meddling. I don't want you to meddle in my life. I want you to preach the word.
We read this thing about the Sabbath. We were talking about the Bible study a couple of times back. It's that Talmud thing that says you're not supposed to create anything on the Sabbath for your own personal gain. And almost the exact same words you're using.
I know.
It's always the Sabbath.
And that's and the penalty for that is death. It's one of the 46 death penalty offenses on breaking the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't a day of the week. That's what Pharisees do. The Sabbath is Christ Himself. And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words use you for their own, or use you for their own ends, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those who should after live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Well, we're going to get into all that. But, for if God spared not the angels, in verse 4, but cast them into hell, there are three words that are used for hell in the New Testament. There's Tartarus, or however you say it, which is it's the absolute, totally complete, worst part of hell that humans don't go to. I mean, it's the deepest, deepest recesses of where there is no possibility of redemption. Because, remember, Christ is down preaching to those. These are the fallen angels. Then there's the word Hades, which is sort of a wordlet. It's all. Remember all the times that you've read the word outer darkness in the parables of Christ, that should be cast into outer darkness. Well, outer darkness is sort of the idea of Hades, but there's no eschatology or anything about this. It's just the idea of Hades came from the Greek culture and everything, but it's really outer darkness. It's really the Gentile world. And Gehenna is the lake of fire. And those are the three Greek words that are translated as hell in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's the word Sheol, which has the same idea, kind of, as Hades or... And it's not the... I don't want to get into that part of it. But
what was the name of the deep hell?
Tartarus.
That's where the Titans were chained.
Yeah, in the Greek mythology. It was the Titans, which were the bad giants, were chained. But here it's the angels. Huh?
Third degree hell.
But the point of it is this. If you understand, if hell is that hell is reserved for the angels, they're in for the giants, the Titans. And if Hades is sort of, if you can accept this idea just from an eschatological standpoint, that Hades is the outer darkness, which is the Gentile world, what we've been redeemed from. And Gehenna is the lake of fire. But the reason it's the lake of fire is Gehenna is right outside the east gate of Jerusalem. And it was the dump, as I've said so many times. And in order for this dump not to stink, they put lime down there and set it on fire so that it would burn up the stuff that once had value but now is without value. So let's look at that for a minute. Really see this. 2,000 years ago, John saw the New Jerusalem descending as a bride. Can you see the New Jerusalem? Is there any part of you that sees it? Are you still operating on the senses? There's no part of your sensory perception that can understand or see the New Jerusalem. That's why it talks about comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, and the natural man cannot understand the heavenly things, because the heavenly things, that's all the New Jerusalem. And it's where the most valuable things on earth are as dust. It's where everything is turned upside down. Now, time is flowing as a river from the east, from the west to the east. And everything, it's going from through the west gate into and out the east gate. Everything in the universe, everything in time and space is flowing through the New Jerusalem. And that which has value stays. That which came from the Father and is only tested by the world stays. Everything else, because everything was beautiful in its time, everything else is flowing through by time and ending and going into Gehenna. From God's standpoint, everything outside the New Jerusalem is the outer darkness. Does that communicate to you? And the outer and Gehenna will last as long as time lasts. But when time is no more, the only thing is left is the New Jerusalem. That's where your life is. That's where your sustenance is. That's where all And there's no words to explain it. It's not a bright light shining that when you got, and you're going to follow that light when you have a near death. It's light that has no source. It's everywhere. It is love that is without. It's permeable. It's everywhere. It's not describable with our language. It's not understandable with our mind. But in the New Jerusalem, we can only get there by being in Christ, because He's the only one that came from there. Every heart's desire, everything you could hope for and wish for is fulfilled. Called the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son of His love. Heaven, paradise, the Garden of Eden are all the different parables for this place for which there are no words to describe it. And hell is a dump. But it's here now. It's your permanent home. So when I used to ask you in the asset tithe, is if you know that you have come home, it doesn't have anything to do with this place or Trinity Foundation or even me. It has to do with, do you know that you are now residing permanently and forever in the New Jerusalem? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never again want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, no matter what it looks like. He leadeth me beside the still waters, or the waters of quietness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is everything outside the New Jerusalem. Yea, though I walk through everything in time and space, the shadow of death, I shall never again fear evil, for thou art with me. He's even preparing a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He has anointed my head with oil to such an extent that my cup has run over. And surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I am dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Not I'm going to go there. It just infuriates me every time I hear that psalm read at a funeral. Because it's a psalm of life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever because I have been born again. I recognize that this earth is not my home. And I'm never again even tempted to use this temple of the Lord for my own self-realization, for my own benefit, because I know that'll drag me back into the kingdom of darkness. Glorious. There's nothing in the universe. It's your reason. It's the reason the universe was created. It's the reason you were created. It's the reason you're here. It's the answer to all the juvenile questions that all of you asked. Then forgot about asking because you sold out to the world, to the flesh. Until all of that failed. Consider these things. You look at me hit with a brick.
Look on the sun.
Does everybody understand?
I was thinking how self-seeking is extended into even into death by some of the damnable heresies where people are looking for.
My little doggy is going to be with me in heaven, and I'm going to play golf when I'm in heaven.
That's one of the damnable areas.
Playing golf in
heaven. But you can get out of heaven.
Or I'm going to have 72 virgins with dark eyes as pools. Voluptuous. What's that word? The word. The zeit. 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 No. No. No, the word for.
Zoptic.
Zoptic.
Yeah.
Zoptic women. That's what Harry wants.
Rubenesque.
Rubenesque.
Kind of like Judy.
It's kind of like Judy in hip boots and a whip. No, this has got to penetrate. This has got to become your life instead of something you talk about or think about every once in a while. Anybody have any response? Go God? Who said that?
John.
Oh, what Skippy said that? Brian?
Yeah, walking around thinking about this sort of mental illness because, I mean, there's peace and joy from this message, but it's kind of twisted to take that anti-self message and euphoria or somewhere about it and just keep that to your. It's just, it seems really ill. This message.
The only way it can
enrich yourself.
Yeah. The only way it has to be given away. It has to be given up. That's the seventh consecration of Abraham, to even give up the promise.
Yeah, how far did we get on that?
I don't know.
I think you were only at two.
I don't want to talk about it. I got tired of talking about seven consecrations of Abraham. If somebody wants to know what they are, they can call John Rutledge.
Yeah, I have a small pamphlet, Seven Consecrations.
Or they can purchase the tape series.
Or they can purchase the tape series for a small donation to Harry. Harry's retirement fund. No, but you're right. This is something that you it is. But if you try to, it's not there by your being. By your doing anything or trying to keep it, or it's there because that's who he is. It's joy unspeakable.
The description of it, that it's moving, that it's a permanent place. And
time is moving through it.
Moving through it, so makes it really clear.
And the temple was just a model, or a parable of the mystery. The temple doesn't have any more meaning than my flesh does. Which certainly doesn't. I mean, my flesh has just gone to pot. No, I can't even say that. My flesh has gone to hell. What's that? Harry, you understand perfectly? John?
Yes.
Carolyn? Pete? Everybody?
Yes.
All right, take a big guy.